With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we will grade the Chiefs' offseason so far. Also, if you missed our conversation with Danny Duffy, we'll play the best of it for you coming up in about 30 minutes or so. Always good to catch up with a member of the Kansas City Royals. Duffy actually on his final season of his contract, so he is certainly somebody to watch this year for the Kansas City Royals. Opening day is less than a week away, and you asked me this question earlier, and I was thinking about it, of what makes opening day so special, and I think a big part of it is it kind of signifies the start of a new season, and not like a baseball season. I kind of look at opening day as the unofficial start to spring, that it's been cold for a really long time and the weather starts to change. And once baseball is here, that means that warm weather is really here. I also think just due to the inventory of the sport, like, they really emphasize this day matters because games 2 until about 150 don't really matter. Like, the only games that feel like they matter in baseball, I think in terms of like buzz and excitement, are normally holidays. So it's opening day, Memorial Day, 4th of July, Labor Day weekend. Those are the only days that really feel like they have a little bit of buzz. So I think that's what makes opening day very unique when it comes to baseball as opposed to other sports we follow.
I also think that opening day is Royals fans, let's just call it what it is. Sometimes it's the only time that the team, if they win, they're going to be over 500. Because I've seen teams, you know, go 1-0, and the next thing you know, you look up and they're like 2-14, and it's just such a long season. But as somebody that's been to multiple playoff Royals games, I'm not going to say that opening day is quite that special, because there's something different about being at Kauffman Stadium, especially during that 14-15 run. And maybe it's because it was an entire lifetime that I was waiting to go to a Royals playoff game. But as somebody that hasn't missed an opening day in a long time, right now I can tell you the opening day lineup off the top of my head from 1994. You want me to do it?
Go ahead.
McCray, Gibson, Brett, Tartable, Eisenreich, Benziger, Stillwell, Shumpert, and Maine with Saberhagen on the hill. Maybe it was 92, but you get my point. I've been to a lot of these things. So opening day for baseball, it's just different, man. And it's awesome that fans, to some extent, are going to be allowed to come back, because once we get fans back at Kauffman Stadium, and then they tell us that more fans are going to be allowed, and then eventually, I would think by the end of summer, fingers crossed, that it can be as close to, maybe not full capacity, but as many people that want to go, that's when the world, at least our world, the sports world, see, that's going to feel like it's back to normal.
So, well, coming up in a little bit, we'll talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. But speaking of the ballpark, 10,000 of you will be able to go to Kauffman Stadium here in just in 1 week. Let's celebrate the best of the ballpark.
Yeah, Rob, give me some baseball music. That's perfect. That's what I was looking for. All right, best of the ballpark. They're going to let you back into Kauffman Stadium. If you can get anything to eat in any section, what are you getting?
The helmet nacho. The helmet nacho is by far and away the best thing at Kauffman Stadium.
Have you had the chili cheese fries in the lower deck?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not getting no chili cheese fries at the ballpark. Like, that just don't seem like the move to
me.
Have
you had the barbecue in the outfield?
Yeah, the brisket nacho.
I'm going to say the brisket nacho is amazing.
Okay.
That's the barbecue.
Do you remember when they used to have the Philly out in right field?
Yeah.
That was good.
It's still out there, I think.
Is it? That was delicious.
Yeah, it's right next to the barbecue place.
Oh, well, it's all in the same place. All right. We've gone over this before, Rob, but you never chimed in because Carrington and I feel completely different about the best seat in the house. He ain't a man of the people like me. I want to sit in the upper deck, front row, best spot to catch a foul ball, put your arm around your lady, you're feeling good. My boy, see, that's in the crown seats. If you can have any seat, where are you?
Crown seats.
Okay.
I had the crown seats once. A client gave them to me, and I was the happiest I've ever been. It was a rain delay, and I was elated. I ate for free, I drank for free, and I sat right behind home plate. It was the best day. That was the best Royals game I've ever attended. I don't know if they won or lost. I don't care. It was great.
Sita, what's your favorite in-inning entertainment?
The hot dog derby. Who doesn't love the hot dog derby? The hot dog derby is amazing. Tea mustard. Ketchup is trash. Relishes. I mean, come on now. If you're putting relish on there, grow up. They need to get rid of relish. You need to change it to onions. And then they need to have, like, the little nacho cheese on there.
I ain't trying to be funny. What is relish?
It's like pickles and...
Mayonnaise?
Yeah, I think so.
No. There's no mayonnaise. No. It's like pickles.
No, it's not just pickles. It's something else. It was just pickles. It'd be called pickles, like ground up pickles.
I mean,
it's something else. It's like slime. It's snot. I'm pretty sure it's pickles and snot.
I think that's just ground up pickles.
It's absolutely disgusting, is what it is.
No, it's gross. I know. Come on.
I don't put it on my hot dog, but like, it's just ground up hot. It's just ground up pickles. That's all it is.
You guys are telling me that you go, first off, you got a hot dog from the game. That's number one. And then you put relish on it.
Why
that's
do they
sick.
Offer relish? Because I feel like people
it is
like
just,
it.
It's just chopped up pickles. That's exactly what it is.
What percentage of people at Kauffman Stadium do you think use the ketchup on their hot dog? 80%?
Disgusting people.
80%. You don't put ketchup?
Ketchup has no business on a hot dog. None. Right. Zero. Zip. Zilch. Nada.
See, as a normal human being, what percentage do you think put hot dog on their ketchup? Or ketchup on their hot dog?
75? Just ketchup?
Yeah, use the ketchup machine, yeah.
I mean, I would say 100% of people. I mean, you got
somebody, well, Rob said he doesn't, so it's not 100%.
But I mean, like, the ketchup or mustard, I mean, I assume that's it. I mean, I think mustard's more popular than ketchup out there.
Really?
But I assume, 100% of people are putting one of those three things on their hot dog.
Do you think anybody just
nobody's
puts relish?
Nobody's eating it raw.
Just puts relish. The old raw dog?
Just raw.
Yeah, nobody's just eating the dog raw. Like, come on now. That's gross. You talk about being gross. I mean, if you're telling me the option is raw hot dog or relish on the dog, then you got to go relish on the dog.
I raw dog it.
Come on now.
They call me raw dog in that situation. That's awful. That's terrible. There's no
way. I'd much rather have the relish on there than just, you're telling me you're eating Aramark hot dogs with nothing, just straight meat and bun? Sick. That's gross.
Have you seen Joey Chestnut? He eats 60 of them in 5 minutes and dips that bun you're talking about in water.
He gets paid at the end of it. You're paying to eat the hot dog. That sounds terrible. He has a condiment for it, too. It's called water.
Weren't you in the hot dog race once?
Yeah, I won. I'm 1-0. I'm never doing it again.
Who'd you beat?
Nate Bucchetti. And one other person. I don't remember.
Were you there when the time Hartzell fell?
Nah, this was another time.
Okay.
I've always liked
tweet Bucchetti and tell him I smoked him in the hot dog derby.
I've always remembers. He's probably relish, wasn't he? I bet he was relish.
I don't remember. I know I was mustard and I won that joint. I still got it on video.
I've always liked it when Slugger used to shoot the hot dogs out of the hot dog gun, but somebody told me that
lawsuit.
There's a lawsuit, so he can't do that anymore. It pisses me off.
You say somebody told you, like somebody's everybody.
Oh, I didn't believe it. Like I heard it from 100 people.
This happened. Yeah. See, so Slugger hit some guy in the eye. It, like, detached his cornea. So, yeah, he sued the Royals.
I mean.
That's why they stopped doing it.
Where was his glove?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Isn't that kind of on him? Like, shouldn't you bring your glove to the game? And if you're trying to participate in such things as Slugger with a gun shooting a hot dog, shouldn't you have your glove?
I don't think he was trying to participate. I think he was minding his business and got drilled by a dog.
My man was sitting there probably reading a book.
On the back of the ticket, it says, it clearly states that there's going to be flying objects. It's not very specific. It could be a bat. It could be a ball. It could be something else. It could be a hot dog.
I'm assuming that's what the Royals lawyer argued before they settled.
I'm on Team Royals with this one.
That's what
I'm 1,000% on Team Royals.
The judge wasn't on the team of
really?
Royals.
The judge was not. I hope he's like Bartman and never comes back. I mean, I hope his eye's okay, but that's terrible. That's ridiculous.
The judge strongly disagrees.
Do you guys
with
bring your glove to games? You probably don't. You're sitting in the crown seats.
No. Absolutely not. I'm not bringing a glove to a game.
Because you guys don't.
I'm not a child. All I'm right. An adult grown man.
I bet you keep score at a game, don't you, Rob?
When I have to cover a game, I absolutely keep score. I love keeping score. Well, then, so fun.
Child, man, call yourself what you want. You're a tool. You
What's
keep about, score.
Only
baseball
when I cover
game?
It. Like when I'm in the press box, I 100% cover it.
Oh, God.
Because then I can look at my scorecard and know exactly what happened.
Or you can just go online, literally type like ESPN.com a couple of clicks, and they do it for you. You keep score in a baseball
100%
game.
Keep score. You can ask Vern.
I used to keep score when I was a kid.
Well, you're not a kid anymore. When's the last time you kept score in a baseball game?
1989? If my two options are bring a glove or keep score, I'd much rather keep score.
I would say for every person that keeps score in a baseball game, for every one person that does that, another 9 person bring a glove. For every 10 people, 9 have their glove, 1 keeps score.
I mean, that's definitely the more popular.
If you keep score, then...
I don't think a lot of people know how to keep score, though.
It's a kind of a fun thing to know how to do now that a lot of people don't know how to do it.
I will say it's really sexy when a girl's keeping score. She's, like, kind of at the game by herself or with a couple of girls. I got a girlfriend now, so it doesn't matter. I love her very much. But back in my single
days... What
group
of girls have you seen in one
what
of them
girl by herself
score?
Is going to a game and keeping score?
I've never seen this before.
I'm not saying it's often.
It's like a unicorn saw.
Yeah, it is. Like Haley's Comet. It comes around
You saw, like, on a Friday night, Buck night, it was, like, a group of 7 girls, and one of them's like,
one of them's keeping score. She has a upper pencil deck behind her ear and she's
have
keeping
your fun,
score.
Boys.
The upper deck girls out here keeping score? No way.
Do you guys want
somebody
to
over there with the crown and pint, they're just keeping score.
There was not a group of girls. I kid you guys not. There was one girl, very, very attractive. In fact, she was wearing a Mike Sweeney t-shirt jersey, which was originally kind of attracted me to her. And I looked down and she's sitting by herself. She's got a glove in one hand, her pen in the other, pencil, number two. And she was keeping score. And I walked down to her. I told her that I was very attracted by a woman that's keeping score. And she said, so is my boyfriend. And then he came down afterwards and he was much bigger than me. And I walked away. But yeah, it happened.
She kept score with a pencil. Amateur. Use a pen. Grow up.
No, pencil's the way to go.
No, because then don't make mistakes. Do your job correctly.
All right. Well, I think what we've learned from this segment
measure
is
twice, cut once.
Have your pet spayed, neutered, and bring your glove to the ballpark, kids.
Is that it?
That's it.
Coming up on the other side, we'll talk about the Kansas City Chiefs as we grade their offseason. That's next. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Coming up in about 15 minutes or so, if you missed any part of Danny Duffy, we'll play the best of it for you coming up as we start to transition into our baseball coverage and get you ready for opening day, the start of the Royals 2021 season. But speaking of a team that shares the Truman Sports Complex, the Kansas City Chiefs, they are in the midst of, I don't know if rebuilding is the right term, I don't want to say that, but building up their roster in order to make a fourth consecutive AFC Championship game and a third consecutive Super Bowl. They have certainly had some hits and misses this far in the offseason. How would you grade it?
I would definitely not say they're rebuilding. I wouldn't even say they're reloading. I would say that they're
retooling is probably
retooling.
The correct term.
Yeah, that's the best way.
Rebuilding was a poor choice of words. They are retooling.
They're filling holes at a lot of positions, and then in a couple of positions, like linebacker, like probably wide receiver too, and certainly like left tackle, it's more than just filling holes. It's you got to go out there and find starters, and it's find starters for this year and hopefully for the next 3 or 4 or 5 years. And because of that, CDOT, the holes that are still left out there, I can't really say it's been any better than average. I can't really say that Brett Veach and the Chiefs have done any better than a C job this offseason. Maybe a C+ if I'm going to be an easy grader. And here's why. It's one thing to get involved, and they've been involved. They went after Juju Smith-Schuster, right? They went after Trent Williams. Like, they put their name in the hat for a lot of these. But I'm a results-oriented guy, and certainly football is a results-oriented business. And what have they really got? Well, they got Kyle Long, and they brought back DeMarcus Robinson, and they got Joe Tooney. But there hasn't been a lot of moves that either make you go, oh, great, now we're going to win the Super Bowl, or, oh, great, now Patrick Mahomes isn't going to be running around like a chicken with his head cut off. Look, the offensive line moves have been okay, but they didn't get Hudson. They didn't get Trent Williams. They added Kyle Long, who didn't play last year. It looks like LDT is going to come back. He didn't play last year. Looks like Lucas Niang's going to be a starter. He didn't play last year. So, again, I'd give them a C because we all know what the biggest issue was. It was the offensive line. And have they completely fixed it? Not even close.
Yeah, no, they haven't. I mean, I don't think it's that possible to give them higher than what you gave them, a C plus. I think it's really an incomplete because we're in the middle of it and they haven't filled the left tackle position. And I don't know if we can officially grade it until they at least fill the biggest hole and void that's on the roster. Do you think you'll be happy with the offensive line? Like, by the end of this whole thing, obviously you're not happy with it on March 26th, but they don't have a left tackle. The tackle that they are going to have week one, I don't think is on their roster. At the end of this, do you think you'll be happy with it? Because it doesn't sound like you'll be happy if their left tackle is somebody that they draft.
Or if they get a Russell Okung and he goes out there and does what I expect to happen, which he plays four or five games, he looks okay, we get excited, and then he gets hurt and he's out for the season, and then the Chiefs didn't draft a left tackle because instead they got Russell Okung, and then not only are they back to square one, they're worse than that. That's the problem. Like, so when we had Binkley on, because he knows a whole lot more about the intricacies and the random offensive linemen from these directional schools than you and I do, and I was saying, so at left tackle, is there a great option, like a starting left tackle at 31? His answer was the one I expected. He said no. But at center, he said that there's a couple of guys that the Chiefs could go out there and take right away. Well, I don't know if that's the best option right now or if it's just to take the best left tackle. Like, the truth is, CDOT, they've kind of pigeonholed themselves in a position where, and I was saying this when they were about to overpay Trent Williams, because you were saying, well, there's no way the Chiefs are going to give him $23 million a year or that many years or the guaranteed money up front. And I was saying he's not worth it. I was completely agreeing with you. But then I was also saying I would still do it. And the reason I would do it is because I don't like the situation they're in right now. And it's not like we're talking about a tight end where if you don't have the best tight end in the league, you can still win games or, you know, cornerback. You know, if you got a kind of shoddy secondary, then you can technically, you probably still go out there if you have enough talent around and still win a Super Bowl. We've seen that here in Kansas City. If you don't have a left tackle, you can't win the Super Bowl. And if you're going to win the Super Bowl, by and large, because you have the best quarterback, he can't be the best quarterback without the left tackle. You see how this thing kind of comes back to each other. So this offseason for the Chiefs has been an interesting one because they've made moves. They've got a little bit better. But until they figure out that left tackle thing, then I'm not going to pat anybody on the back.
I mean, at this point, I would be shocked, stunned, surprised if their first or second round selection was not a left tackle, regardless of what they do in free agency. So, like, let's say they go get Russell Okung. Let's say that they get Andre Villanueva. That's not a long-term solution to the position. That's a stopgap, and we all know what the biggest need on the team is. So maybe I'm wrong in doing this. I've already assumed that in the mix of competition, it's going to be a player that they draft, whether it's in the first round or the second round. So I think a rookie is going to be in consideration for it. I don't know what the complete left to right is going to be. I assume that Lucas Niang is going to be the right tackle for this team. It makes all the sense that he's going to play right tackle. At left tackle, I really think we're at the point, it's probably only about five names. I don't really think there's too many different options at this point who's going to be the starting left tackle for the team. I've been reading more about the kid out of Notre Dame. I don't think that's a bad option. Like, if you're telling me that they get the Notre Dame left tackle in the first round, given how this offseason's kind of gone, given the contract that you'd have the guy on, it'd be a four-year, $9 million deal. I don't think that's a bad option.
At this point, no, it's not a bad option. It might be your best option. But my point is, I wouldn't have gone cheap there. I wouldn't have tried to conserve money at that particular position. If you want to conserve money and tell Breland, hey, man, if you want to come back, we're only going to give you half the money. Or DeMarcus Robinson, hey, bro, if you're going to come back, we're only going to give you $1 million. I have no problem with that. If you're going to only pay $10 million to a rookie offensive lineman out of Notre Dame, I don't care. Like, I don't think that you're getting this great discount. I'd rather have a guy that's proven at that position because that could really crumble this whole deck of cards. Like, I think we found out last year that maybe the Chiefs are still the best team, still the most talented team, still the best quarterback, still the best coach. But when it comes to depth at certain positions, i.e. the offensive line, it can catch up with any team in the NFL, and it eventually did. So I'm with you. Like, even if you do go out there, C-Dot, and you get a left tackle, it's Villanueva, it's Okung, it's you trade for somebody else that we're not even talking about, you still have to spend multiple draft picks on that offensive line, because it's not like they just need to fix one or two holes this offseason. They basically had to fix the entire offensive line.
Yeah, I think maybe you and I look at left tackle a little bit differently. Like, I don't think they need to be great at it.
Yeah, I don't know why you're not more concerned about it.
I think they need to be adequate at it. I think they need to have an adequate offensive line.
But they're not going to get somebody that's better than Eric Fisher this offseason at this point.
I agree, but I don't think they need that to win the Super Bowl next year. I think if they're, let's say they're 19th in the NFL at that position, at that one position, I think they can win the Super Bowl by being 19th at that position. Now, it might take some creativity. It might be less five, or where we're giving them a little bit more help. My big issue in the Super Bowl is different than your big issue. They knew that their offensive line wasn't good enough, and they did nothing to help them over the 60 minutes. Like, at no point did they ever try to compensate for being bad at the position. So if they're going to go in and they're not going to be as good at offensive line, are they going to continue to keep Mahomes out there on the island, or are they going to tweak their offense, have a little bit more chip, and play a little bit more and give their offensive line a little bit more protection? That, to me, was part of the issue in the Super Bowl as well.
They do have options, though. Like, I mean, they could sit there, like you're saying, and draft at 31 over the best left tackle as your kid from Notre Dame or whoever. They could wait until the second round, take that guy. They could, in theory, maybe try to find a disgruntled left tackle, probably for an NFC team, that they could try to make a sweetheart deal and trade away player for player. We've seen that happen in the past.
Yeah, I don't know if a team is giving the Chiefs their starting left tackle.
I'm just throwing things out there. They could continue with Eric Fisher in theory and say, okay, you're probably not going to be ready until the back end of the season, but we're still interested in you.
Yeah, but then that counts them drafting a left tackle.
They could slide Joe Tooney over, a guy that's played multiple positions in the offensive line.
I don't think that's realistic.
The only reason I'm throwing these out there is because whatever option they come up with, like you're saying, well, they'll just take the kid out of Notre Dame. Can't remember his name. That's not a great option.
Liam Eichenberg is his name.
You want me
to throw it out there for you?
All right, you do know his name.
Yeah, but I'm saying is, like, some of those options to me, like,
I think that kid was at my bar mitzvah. Liam Eichenberg?
I mean, I'm looking at it. I don't know if they're going to have Lucas Niang play left tackle. I think he's probably going to play right tackle. Yeah. Eric Fisher is not going to play week one for any team in the NFL.
I'd be shocked.
So even if Eric Fisher comes back, and a lot of people think Eric Fisher is going to come back, they then need somebody else to play left tackle for week one. Like, at this point, I'm concerned about week one. Who do we think the week one left tackle is going to be? I really think it's only about five people that's a realistic option. Like, maybe they get Tevin Jenkins out of Oklahoma State. Maybe it's Liam Eichenberg out of Notre Dame. Maybe it's Villanueva. Maybe it's Okung. I don't think it's that many possibilities of who it can be at this point, and I think give you the quality and the production that you want at the position. You and I are just slightly on different sides here. I don't think they need to have a top five left tackle in the NFL in order to go back to the Super Bowl. I think in the Super Bowl, they had the worst left tackle situation in the NFL during the Super Bowl. You obviously don't want that, but if they're middle tier when it comes to that, I think they're more than fine offensively.
I like these guys' names. I love the offensive linemen. Remember who I wanted last year, the Chiefs to draft? Remember Lloyd Cushenberry III? And now they give you this Leatherwood guy, or what's your guy's name from Notre Dame?
Liam Eichenberg.
I'll take any of those guys. They'd all look good in Chiefs uniform.
Coming up on the other side, we'll replay the best of our conversation with Danny Duffy. If you missed it, we'll also give you a chance to win $1,000 in a national cash contest. And the NCAA tournament continues on. And no, Kansas is not participating. And I'm oh so happy about it. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
It is time for the Dash for Cash. Your code word this hour in the national cash contest is treasure. 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 Text that word to 72881 and you could be the $1,000 winner in the national cash contest. You got one more chance to win this week. Coming up in 1 hour for complete rules and listings, be sure to go to 610sports.com. Text the word treasure, TREASURE. Text the word treasure to 72881. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Josh Vernier as we continue our Royals opening day coverage, which is sponsored by Google Fiber. In case you missed it earlier today, you and I were joined by Danny Duffy, who pitches for the Kansas City Royals. Our conversation with him started with what led to you wearing your Donald Ventura's number 30 this season.
Carlos Santana came through. He's been 41 his whole career, and I'd be happy with whatever number. And, you know, somebody who actually wants to remain nameless, who works for the Royals, was actually, you know, insisted this. And I was like, man, you know, that's heavy. And I was told that it was going to be recirculated. And, you know, after a little bit of deliberation, I thought about it. And, you know, I think anybody who knew him wanted it to go to somebody who played with him and knew him. And, you know, Salvi's already locked in to 13 pretty heavily. And, you know, a couple other guys, I was going to change my number anyway. So I felt really honored that they insisted that. And really the only stipulation for me was bearing it with his mom. And, you know, they did, and I was really honored.
Do you find yourself thinking more about your Donna when you're on the mound or in the dugout or when you're just kind of chilling by yourself at the crib?
You know what, man? I mean, I think it varies for all of us, for everybody who played with him. We talk about him, you know, in the group chat sometimes with the boys that I, you know, we came up together in the minor league, you know, and man, I mean, at this point, it's just kind of really fond memories of the guy and, you know, all of his mannerisms. And, you know, he'd make fun of us. We make fun of him. He'd say things like, oh, you think that's laughing? And it was just so funny. You know, he worked his butt off to learn English, man, and he was getting really good at it. And, gosh, I mean, I'm just scratching the surface with Spanish. I'm 15 years deep with this organization. So we look back fondly, and it varies, you know. Talk about him to the younger guys sometimes and talk about him amongst ourselves. And one goal that we have out of that is to really kind of instill how hard this dude competed. And, you know, we'll always be able to learn something from that.
Talk with Danny Duffy here on The Drive. Danny, why do you think you've got such a bond with Kansas City and always have? Because I don't want to say anything bad about Zach Greinke or anything, but it was pretty obvious. Like, he almost talked his way out of town. There have been some guys that haven't made their home here. They've eventually just wanted to go play for a different organization. What is it about you in Kansas City specifically?
Man, when I first got there, it was actually, I think it was 2008. I was pitch of the year in Burlington, Iowa, not a humble brag. And, I was out there for the first time, and it really, with the way people treat each other, it really reminded me of like a metropolis version of my hometown. You know, people walk by you, ask you how you're doing, and actually wait around for the answer. Just stuff like that, man. It's got a small town vibe, and it packs a lot of punch. And it's busy when you want to be busy. It's not when you don't want it to be. And, you know, you could do really anything you want there. And everyone is so polite, very welcoming. And the barbecue doesn't suck either, bro. So there's a lot that I'm really fond of in Kansas City. And I'll always view it as home 2.0.
Duff, you've been there long enough that you've seen like different versions of the Royals. You've seen the highs, you've seen the lows, you've seen the winning, you've seen the losing. I haven't been down to spring training, but just listening to the media availability every day, guys are talking differently about this team. There seems to be a renewed energy that you guys have a chance to be really competitive this year. What's that like? What's the buzz around the team about this upcoming season?
Man, there's definitely a difference. There's definitely a difference. I usually come up a little bit short of making any kind of predictions, man, because those just set you up for failure. But the confidence level is just soaring, bro. Like, it's been a long time. You know, I mean, we were always confident in our ability, but I think it's kind of clicking in the group that we have. I think Benintendi coming over is enormous. Carlos Santana, I said it yesterday, actually. I just figured out how the heck to get the guy out last year, and now I'm playing with him. So he's another dude that's been, you know, that's going to be huge for us this year. And it's a vibe out there, bro. It's different. I can't really put a finger on it and explain it, but I think we're all kind of itching to get out there, man, and showcase the work that we've put in.
Speaking of showcasing the work that you guys have been putting in, last year you played with no fans. How was that experience? And what's the excitement level? What's the conversation amongst the team for hopefully getting back to normal here and there being a full Kauffman Stadium here maybe by the end of the summer?
Let's go, bro. I can't. It's been a year and a half. Feels like since actually no, it has been a year and a half, just about exactly since I played in front of fans.
It's crazy.
I'm off that generated noise, man. I'm not on that at all. So, you know, having some good natured shenanigans from when we're on the road, I miss that too. But I'm really looking forward to getting in front of the Kansas City fan base, man.
What are your goals on the field this year? Obviously, C-Dot was talking about there's a lot of hype and team goals, and hopefully they'll win some more games in the last couple of years. But what are you trying to do?
Man, I'm trying to contend. I think personal goals are kind of not really it for me. I've been saying I want to throw 200 innings for the last 40 years, and that hasn't happened yet. I really just want to contend. You cannot duplicate the feelings, the emotions when you make it to the playoffs. You need to go back, and that's where I'm at, man. And I think you know we got a pretty dang good team, and I'm looking forward to that opportunity. That's my goal for the year, though. Just be healthy, be strong, and contend, compete my butt off.
Duff, every time we have you on, we get asked about the bear suit. Where is the bear suit?
It's in hibernation. It's back at the crib. But we'll definitely, I definitely need to get that out to Casey. Have that thing on deck, bro.
That thing needs to be in like the Royals Hall of Fame or something. Like people would go to the game just to see your bear suit.
Man, that would be something else, wouldn't it? That's been 6 years since I bought that thing. So much has changed, and I was such a weird dude back then, but in a good way. And I'm really glad that caught on. $230 purchase on Amazon. Now it's legendary. So. Hopefully we could dust that thing off and put it to good use.
That's a different kind of life because, like, $230, if I spent that on a coat, I'm wearing that coat every day.
Every
I don't
day.
Care if it's January or June. I'm wearing that coat every single day.
Man, you know what, dude? Like, it seems pricey, but that thing's actually pretty complex. I won't be going out and buying another one anytime soon, let's just say that. But it's very detailed, and you know, it's one of a kind. I think I'm gonna have to bring that thing back out. I think it might still smell like the celebration. I haven't gotten it dry clean or anything, so still in there in the closet, ready to be worn again. We'll see what we can do.
That was our conversation with Danny Duffy. If you want to hear it in its entirety, you can check it out on 610sports.com and the radio.com app. I think it's pretty apparent, even if you haven't been down to spring training or haven't been following it super closely, that there is a different buzz. There is a different energy about this team. The team expects to be good. Like, I know that they have to say certain things at the beginning of the season, but, I mean, they ain't dumb. You know, these guys have played baseball at a high level. You know when your team has a chance to do something special and you know when they don't. And for the last couple of years, I think that especially if you competed at a high level and knew what it was like to win and have success in the postseason, and you look at your roster, where we expected some lean years from the Kansas City Royals, but there is a different tone about this team. There is a different buzz and energy. They're carrying themselves like they expect to be competitive this season. So you guys know where I'm at. I'm holding them to the standard of they think they're going to be competitive. They're spending money like they're going to be competitive. So this team needs to win at least 75 games this season.
I don't think that they think they're going to be competitive. That's where we disagree. I think that they think they're going to be better. I think that the moves that they made are for the future. I think that the Royals are still probably not this year, but we could start to have the playoff conversation as early as next year. And then 2 years after that. So I guess I should say, you know, not this year, not next year, but the year after that, everybody's expectations. Anybody listening right now should be that this type of conversation is done for a while, for like 3 or 4 years, because we know the window is probably going to be somewhat like it was the first time around with Dayton Moore when you had Hosmer and Moose and Candy, Donovan Tura, Danny Duffy still, all those different guys. It was like a 4 or 5 year run, but in all likelihood, they're going to run the same situation. If those players have too much success, a la Haas, Moose, Kane, then they're going to get picked off in free agency. But the good news is, I think that we're going to have that same enjoyment level. The window's going to be open starting as early as next year because of this season, because a lot of those arms are going to get a chance to come up. I think there's a good chance that we see at some point Daniel Lynch. I wouldn't be surprised if in September we get a chance to see Asa Lacy. We know at the beginning of the year we're going to get a chance to see Brady Singer and Jackson Kowar. We'll see what happens with Adalberto Mondesi. We'll see exactly when the Royals decide it's the right time for Bobby Witt Jr. But compared to the last few years, you don't have to like convince yourself that there's reasons to be excited. Like, there actually are reasons for excitement.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll be joined by Josh Vernier as we continue to preview the start of the Royals season. This weekend, the NCAA tournament resumes. Kansas will not be playing. Missouri will not be playing, but the basketball should still be good. Rob, let's take a look at the games coming up this weekend.
We'll start with the first game of the weekend, and that is Loyola against Oregon State. Who you guys got? Loyola is listed right now as a 6.5-point favorite over the Beavs.
I mean, I like Beavers. I really do. But after watching Loyola put it on Illinois, that game wasn't even close. Like, if you told me that one team was the 1 seed and one team was the 8 seed, I'm pretty sure that everybody would have said, yeah, that Loyola Chicago team looks like a dominant 1 seed. So I think that they roll in this game. I think that they win big, and I'm starting to agree with you guys. And Rob, you've been all over it the entire time. Congratulations. They're probably going to end up not only winning this game, they're probably going to end up in the Final Four.
Yeah, I think they're the favorite in their region. I really like how they played. Ken Palm was super high on them. I got a chance to watch them like one or two times during the course of the season. But if you had really been following college basketball, like, their success is not that surprising. I think Oregon State is that kind of team that you caught that wave at the end of the year. You got hot at the right time, but just this is where the luck sort of runs out. And salute to Oregon State getting to the Sweet 16 and really turning things around. I think Loyola is probably one of the 5 best teams left in the NCAA tournament. I'll be taking them to win this game. I'll also take them against the points. I think Loyola actually wins big in this game against Oregon State. You've given this team a week to prepare for Oregon State. I think they go out and play really, really well. I'll take Loyola Chicago advancing to the Elite Eight.
That's because the right pick, because they're elite, and some of us knew that ahead of time. The other game, the late game on Saturday, will be Baylor, 7.5-point favorite against Villanova. Who you guys got, the Bears or the Wildcats?
Oh, I got Baylor. Like, I was off them for a minute, basically because KU beat them. And then I thought, well, hold on. If this up-and-down Jayhawks team with not a ton of talent and not a go-to score can beat you and beat you handily, then maybe you're not as good as you're cracked up to be. And then they lost in the Big 12 tournament, and I was patting myself on the back. But I was wrong. Like, this team actually is dominant. They probably are going to end up, I don't know if they make it to the national championship game, but I do think they end up in the Final Four, and I think they win this game big also. Villanova's without their best player, their leader, their point guard. I'll take Baylor winning this game by double digits. I'll lay the 7.5.
I think that Baylor really cemented themselves as the second best team in this tournament over the weekend with how they played in their game against Wisconsin. I mean, I picked Baylor to lose in the second round to whoever won the game between North Carolina and Wisconsin. Baylor won that game pretty comfortably. They find themselves now in the Sweet 16. You're right about Nova. Nova to get to this point, especially with how banged up they are, is certainly a testament. There's a lot of talent on that team. Robinson Earl out of Kansas, he is probably the best player now on the team, but I mean, Baylor's just got the best player on the floor in Jared Butler. I think you got to take Baylor in this game, -7.5.
Is that Lester Earl's kid?
It is.
Yeah, it is. This is the time of year where, like, you got to have pros to win games, and Baylor has multiple pros. Baylor's going to win this game, and I think they'll cover the number.
And I love Lester Earl, for the record, in case you were wondering. Love Lester Earl.
The next game seems pretty obvious to me, but I'll ask anyway. The Hogs are laying 11.5 against Oral Roberts.
Sweet. I told you Arkansas is going to the Final Four. They should be like a 21-point favorite in this game. You know Oral Roberts is happy to be here. Arkansas is going to destroy them in this game.
I think Oral Roberts is the worst team remaining in this tournament. I think the talent disparity is really going to shine through in this game. I think you got to take Arkansas, and I think you got to take Arkansas big in this game.
Do you remember former Arkansas Razorback from Kansas City, Derek Hood?
Yes, he went to Central.
Bala.
I mean, fun run, ORU. It's over.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Oral Roberts, I mean, just being a 15 seed and being the second one to get to this round of the NCAA tournament is obviously a major accomplishment. But, I mean, you've got one legit score. You now give me a week to prepare to kind of slow that gag down. And just, I don't think athletically they're going to be able to keep up with Arkansas that wants to get up and down the court, wants to run, that can score into the 90s. I just think Arkansas, the talent, is just going to finally win itself out.
The final game on Saturday, the Houston Cougars are laying 6.5 as they take on the Syracuse Orange. Sean, who you got?
I got Houston winning the game, but I got Syracuse covering the line. As CDOT pointed out, there's no more dangerous basketball team in the NCAA tournament than Syracuse as a double-digit seed. This is like the third time they've done this before. They're almost better off than having a really good season and having people know who they are. They're better off creeping in the back door like this. And Houston and Syracuse are kind of similar teams. They both beat you on the defensive side of the ball. The over-under is hovering right around 140. I'll probably play the unders in that game, and I think I'll take the points with Syracuse. Give me the 6.5. They lose the game, but they probably lose by like 4 or 5.
Yeah, I'm taking Syracuse in this one. There's just not really a team that I want to bet against at this point with how they're playing defensively. I think it's always really difficult to prepare for Syracuse's zone if that's not something that you see.
You think they win the game? You're taking the points.
I think Syracuse is going to win the game outright. I would take them against the spread, and I would take them on the money line to win the game. I think Syracuse is going to pull off another upset, and the run is going to continue. Have me Syracuse making an advance to the Elite Eight.
I'm with you. I got the Q's outright. Here's the stat to note in this game. Houston is a 36% three-point shooting team. Now, there are a lot of ways to beat zone, but at some point, you got to shoot over it, and Houston really can't shoot.
If we're right about both those picks, then to go to the Final Four, it's going to be
Loyola
versus Houston.
Yeah, just say Loyola's in the Final Four.
Loyola versus Syracuse, if we're right. Like, that'd just be absolutely insane.
Moving on to the Sunday games, which I know we've talked about this, but Saturday, Sunday being the Sweet 16 is really lame. Like, just very lame. But the first game on Sunday is the Zags. They are laying 13 points. They take on Creighton.
Zags win this game by closer to 23. You'll be pretty comfortable with that one. Creighton's an up-and-down team. They got Mitchell Ballack from Eudora, so I'm not hating on them. But a really fun game earlier this year with KU. They can put up a lot of points. I don't think they can put up enough points to beat Gonzaga. It's a Creighton team that put up 80 10 times this year. It's a Gonzaga team that put up 80 close to 20 times this year. So the over-under is 158.5. I'd lay the 13, and I would play the over with Gonzaga.
Yeah, I'm going to take Gonzaga to win this game. I'm going to take Creighton plus the points, though. I think Creighton obviously struggled in that first game and kind of just had to exhale a little bit, and that's just going to happen over the case of the NCAA tournament. Creighton's obviously not going to be intimidated about this. I mean, they went into Allen Fieldhouse earlier this year and were super competitive against Kansas. I think Gonzaga wins this. I actually think this is Gonzaga's first tough test of the NCAA tournament. I'll take Gonzaga plus the points, but I think this game's going to be close within the final 5 minutes of the game.
I remember saying Gonzaga was going to roll through this tournament, and I wouldn't be surprised if they won every game by double digits. This is to get to the Elite Eight, and they're a 13-point favorite, so I'm not taking it back. I think Gonzaga rolls their way right through this tournament.
Yeah, I agree with Sean. They're going to roll Creighton. I want to see Creighton get smoked. They have no business being this round. The next game on Sunday is the Michigan Wolverines. By the way, Josh Vernier will join us in 10 minutes. Hail to the victors. They take on Florida State. They are laying 2.5. Sean, who you got?
I think I'll take Florida State, the upset, play them on the money line. They're a dangerous team. I mean, they're probably the best team in the ACC this year. They were really good. And they're one of those teams that they can beat you a couple of different ways. Like, I've seen them put up 90, and I've seen them win putting up 55. Florida State is a really good team, and they've been the last few years. Just nobody talks about them. I think the line's about right. It should be a tight one. Michigan's only a 2.5-point favorite. I think the one seed goes down. I'm playing the Seminoles on the money line.
This is where I think the injury to Michigan probably finally catches up with them. I got to take Florida State here, too. I don't feel good about it. I really like this Michigan team, and I think the injuries really grabbed them. But I'm going to take Florida State in this game.
Yeah, I got Florida State as well. We're not talking about how good Leonard Hamilton is, the head coach. He should be in the Hall of Fame. He's really, really good. The next game on Sunday, Bama laying 6.5 as they take on UCLA.
Didn't Bill Self coach under Leonard Hamilton for a while? I believe he did. Alabama's going to roll in this game. I agree with UCLA. Oral Roberts is the worst team left. UCLA is probably the second worst team left. They're 26-9 this year. They had to get really hot at the end of the year, really to just make this tournament. They're a double-digit seed. And Alabama, man, Alabama is a damn good basketball team. Did MU beat them earlier this year?
They did.
How in the world did that happen? I'm giving up the 6.5, and I'm playing the overs. Both these teams can score. It's probably going to be closer to like 160 or 170 on the total. That's what I feel better than the line. But I'll lay the 6.5. I think Alabama rolls Roll Tide.
I'm taking UCLA here in the upset over Alabama. You know, Alabama's one of those live by the three, die by the three teams. And I think with the way that UCLA is playing of late, especially defensively, I really like them in this game. I'm going to take UCLA as the quote-unquote biggest surprise of the weekend. I'm going to take UCLA as an outright winner.
This will be the best game of the weekend. This game features multiple pros on both teams. I'm actually really excited to see it. I got Bama in the Final Four, and I'm kind of a big Bama guy, so give me Roll Tide Roll. And the final game, Sunday night, the Pac-12 tilt, which reportedly Bill Walton is mad at the NCAA tournament. The Pac-12 teams have to face each other. But that's neither here nor there. The Trojans of USC are laying 2 against the Oregon Ducks.
The Conference of Champions. You got Alabama in your Final Four also?
Yeah, all my Final Four teams are still rocking.
Who do you have?
I have Alabama, Gonzaga, Baylor, and Loyola.
Oh, my God, dude. You're going to get all four teams.
Feeling good about it.
I've never known anybody that's got all four teams. That's impressive. It's probably not going to happen now that I'm talking you up, but so far, so good. Which of these two schools did Bull Bull go to?
Oregon.
Did I ever tell you about the time that I saw Bull 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 in Olathe?
You have certainly told us that before.
I told you that story? Well, I'm taking USC.
I'm taking USC, too. I got to take the best player on the floor. I also think they're the better defensive team in this matchup. So I got to take USC. I'll take them. I agree with you. I do think this is going to be the best game of the weekend. I actually think that Baylor-Villanova has a chance to be a really good game. Good guard play in that. A lot of future pros on both sides of it. I think Baylor-Villanova has a chance to be a really good game. I'd probably put Houston and Cuse probably as the third best game of the weekend. I think Syracuse is obviously playing at an incredibly high level. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will catch up with Josh Vernier as we start our preview of the Royals opening day. Our opening day coverage is sponsored by Google Fiber. Our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, in the 5 o'clock hour. That's next. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.